Good morning. Firstly, today's share is sponsored by Rabbi and Mrs. Moshe Berger on the occasion of his mother's 21st Yahrzeit this coming Thursday. Baba Miriam Bas Shmuel, Shalom, Shama Shavin Aliyah, this and many other things. Before we begin this week's topic, I think it's probably appropriate I give a little postscript on the past 2 weeks. Shiurim over here, Sunday morning. The topics we did in the past 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the topic of security in, unfortunately, the dangerous world we live today, post the Pittsburgh shooting. And last week, we spoke about vaccinations in halacha, using vaccinations to fight infectious disease. Both of those topics were pretty timely, based on episodes that were just happened or going on in the Jewish world. And what I found from many participants here, as well as many other people who reached out to me, vis-a-vis the popularity of different forms of media to access the share, is it definitely struck a chord in many areas, these topics. Security is on the minds of people, and what one can do, can't do on Shabbos is an important factor to keep in mind when someone goes through a security plan, ideas of what to do to protect themselves, their family, their community. But even more so, this last week's topic of vaccinations. My father-in-law just happened to be in town this Shabbos. We were talking about the topic quite a bit over Shabbos. And he was amazed that, I guess over here, we were ahead of the curve that we already were talking about, gave a share on in halacha last week. A lot has happened since last week. This yeshiva in particular came out with a strong policy. They upped their policy, and it had a chain effect all over South Florida. What this yeshiva did was actually publicized in the from world, in different media outlets, and they even had the letters of the yeshiva up there, what the yeshiva was doing. There were actually major players on the anti-vaxxer side as of last week that by this week, already switched teams, already came out with a stance to back vaccination. And really, it's an important thing when halachic topics are discussed and brought to the fore, then it's something that people have to deal with. Of course, everyone is entitled to ask their local, their familiar posik, and get their own direction, hadracha, of what to do. But to understand the underlying issues of a halachic topic, which we try to do here, is very important. You know, and really what we do here, you know, the shiur is given in a way which hopefully could reach a broad spectrum of people. You have people here who are seasoned talmidei chachamim, who could use these marmokomos as a springboard to do further research. And there are others who, you know, unfortunately, there's no art scroll with Shimon Shkup or art scroll, you know, many of the other marmokomos we might have. There's no easier English versions, but whatever a person's able to get, the share is given still in a clear fashion, hopefully, that people could walk away with somewhat of a starting of an understanding of the topics involved. I think that's an important introduction also for today's topic. I give Harvey the credit. He came up with the idea of connecting today's share to where we're holding Binyanei Dioma. Today we stand Sunday in between Black Friday and Cyber Monday. This has become one of the biggest events on the American calendar. It's trickled into yeshivas too, unfortunately. But yeah, people are looking, a Jew and a Metziah, I could get something on sale, buy one, get one. Everyone's enlisting their friends, we'll get it together half price. And people are looking to buy things this period of the year. You know, could be the real shoppers know you could get better sales other times of the year, but people think this time of the year is the best for sales, Black Friday, Cyber Monday. And if you look at the stats, what are the most top sellers this currently in the world? You're always going to find electronics. Consumer electronics is a field which has just blown up, and the amount of advancements constantly coming out in the broad nature of consumer electronics, whether it's from phones, computers, everything today connected, you know, Siri has become, you know, quite famous all around the world. You know, to have everything, people have smart homes. Everything in a house could be electronically connected, and that creates a major halakhic issue. Major halakhic issues. And I've had people come to me for a while, Rabbi Kier, can you give a share on the topics of all these, you know, electronics? And really, they're so vast, and there's so many different things out there in the market today that one share is not sufficient. Really, you need a series of shirim, and to analyze... That one was for Steve. Yes, a series of shirim to analyze all the different new technologies, and there's so many nuances of difference. You know, you really have to have a tremendous technological knowledge in how these things work to really, you know, get involved in it. Just as an aside, in the vaccination issue from last week, I myself had the schos to meet with, I'll leave his name out, but let's just say he's a Rosh Hashiva who is famous for being a tremendous Talmud Chacham, Brisker, but he also spent some time in MIT. And his view of how people could get involved in a medical issue without having strong medical scientific background is, let's just say his opinion was quite strong. You know, to really understand, you know, technology, the Paskan halachic shilas on these advancements in technology, the Rav, the Posek, has to see or understand what is going on with this object. How does it work? And we'll see soon. There are many issues that Rabbanim really didn't... They spoke with many, quote-unquote, experts, and even sometimes experts don't know exactly how it works. And that creates big halakha problems. I labeled this year from fridges to electronic eyes, the parameters of psik resha on Shabbos. Now, refrigerators is a question that has gone on for years, right? It's been a while since we used ice boxes. Some people here, it could be their bubbies using ice box. But refrigerators is not a modern invention. It's been around for a while, but so has the halachic hak. The issues involved, can you open a refrigerator on Shabbos? That particular shaila of opening a refrigerator on Shabbos, a lot of times these halakhic issues over time, it gets more clarity and you figure it out. With refrigerators, it only got more complicated. Nowadays, refrigerators, besides the issue which we'll talk about later, about opening a refrigerator up and the compressor going on and temperature and the thermostat, it's much more complicated. There are some smart refrigerators that will tell, makes a cheshbon every time you open the door. It's logged into a computer. Every time you take things from different shelves, they could track that. the level of ice in your refrigerator doesn't just have some manual, simple mechanism. Every piece of ice could be tracked. There are so many things which you have sensors and smart technology which makes for big halakhic problems, right? It's not just an issue of a thermostat anymore when you open a refrigerator. Depending on the model, you could have quite a few other ones. Electronic eyes is just a simple way to describe sensors. And nowadays, there are sensors in everything. I saw someone describe, boy, did it look like a horror story, of a frum Jew coming to a hotel room on a Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. You know, they got stranded, they got stuck. Okay, I'm going to have to spend Shabbos here. They didn't spend any time looking into the hotel. They just get there. It's okay. They get to their room. Okay. Electronic door. How do you get past that one? Okay, we'll figure it out. They have a key. Door open. Okay. That's the least of your problems. Hotels got smart too. They realize people spend X amount of time in their hotel room, but a lot of time seeing the sights. They're on vacation. What does the average person do? They leave the AC on. Of course, you don't come back. You want it to be nice and cool. They're not necessarily as makbid to shut off the lights like they might do in their own house, because after all, they're not paying the electric bill. So it's quite common for people to leave lights and AC running. So after a while, hotels got smarter. Now there are many hotels that could tell when you open the door, either to the door to the house, to the hotel room, or if there's a balcony, if you go out to the balcony. Those doors are monitored. The moment you go open that door to go out, they'll lower the setting of the AC. You go out to your porch, also they'll affect the AC controls. There are hotels when you open the closet door, automatically the light goes on. The lights in the room itself. The faucets in the bathroom. I don't know why they can't just have that switch. It turns it off and on. It's electronic. One of my friends has complained to me. He went to a top, I'll leave out the name. Oh, but you're right. There are usually problems in public bathroom areas, but I've read of issues in individual hotel rooms. Rabbi, we're talking about the top suites. That's how they do things there. A friend of mine complained to me. He was staying in a major hotel right near the old city in Yerushalayim. He said he couldn't go to the bathroom there, and there at least it was the public bathroom of that hotel. Like, from Jews use this. This is a major hotel. You could see the Kotel. You could see the old city walls from this hotel. Jews use it all the time. I guess not enough Jews have complained about the fact in your bathrooms in the hotel, it's electronic. What are you supposed to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So these issues are ubiquitous. Wherever we turn in today's world, there are more and more issues of sensors, electronic eyes, monitoring everything we do, affecting it. How does this affect Tovah Shabbos? So what I want to do today, firstly, to give everybody here some important resources. Really, these issues, I can't address every individual model of GE refrigerators, of Apple, Sony, whatever, home, assistants, Siri and Aura cousins, I can't address them all. And really, I'll give as a resource, Baruch Hashem, the major kashrus organizations, what I've seen, is they're getting very involved in these issues. They're actually trying to help with solutions, just like on, in ovens, it's already popular to have ovens with a Shabbos mode. They have been working on refrigerators and other household appliances with a Shabbos mode. The Star K, the OU, I believe the CRC, a lot of these major kashrus organizations, you could call them for resources. You go to the store. It's Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Your wife needs a new refrigerator. Okay. After you spend all your time in Consumer Reports figuring out what the best refrigerator to buy is, then you call the Star K, the CRC, to see, is this the model they recommend? Or unfortunately, is this something which has too many halakhic problems? They'll tell you maybe you should buy a lower-end model. Your wife may not want to hear that. And she's not here Sunday morning to hear the share. But, you know, that's a consideration to have. So all these major kashrus organizations, besides the local Rav, are good resources in shopping for new electronics to see they're already getting behind the eight ball to figure out what a Jew in the world today could do in purchasing these objects. What I really like to focus today's share on is the underlying halakhic issues behind it, so that a person can understand what's the issue about. And when your wife comes to you, but I've been dreaming of buying that fridge forever, and it's on sale.
Only $5,000.
Right? Best Buy has a better deal, I'm telling you. But to at least have some background to explain why there's a problem here, what the potential issues are. So the big issue is called Psik Reisha. That's a very, very, one of the very, very big issues which I'd like to address today. What is a Psik Reisha? So before we explain what a Psik Reisha is, first we have to explain what a Davar She'ein Miskaven is. The real Hilchos Shabbos, some of these topics I've been doing in Shir with my Chevra, and they know, boy oh boy, when you learn Hilchos Shabbos, B'iyan, there's lots of background you got to know. So a Davar She'ein Miskaven, let's start with that. So a Davar She'ein Miskaven means something that you're not intending to do. If you do something, let's start on Shabbos. If you do something on Shabbos which you were not intending to do, now there's different forms. There's shogeg, there's misasik. I'm not here to explain all of Shabbos on one foot. Shogeg is different, misasik is different, maybe malach hashem and tzrich lagufa is different. There's all these fancy Shabbos terms. You know, Rome wasn't conquered in a day. Today, I want you to do Davar She'ein Miskaven and Psik Reisha with different variations. Davar She'ein Miskaven means I did something on Shabbos I was not intending to do. It's actually machlok, it's what the halacha is. Reb Shimon says Davar She'ein Miskaven is mutter. If you did not intend to do that, it's permitted. Reb Yehuda holds it's aser. There's machlokas in the Rishonim. Does this, where exactly do we paskin like? Because really these cases are not only by Shabbos. They exist even by non-Shabbos cases. The Gemara has a case, one of the issurim on a nazir is he can't cut his hair. But it's understood, cutting your hair doesn't just mean with a scissor to go and cut it. It would include if I did an action which causes my hair to fall out. So a simple example is brushing your hair, definitely, or combing it in a strong manner, that could cause your hair to fall out. Now, you're definitely not intending, especially at a certain age, you're definitely not intending when you brush or comb your hair for it to fall out. That's a Davar She'ein Miskaven. But Reb Shimon would say, if that wasn't your intention, you're off the hook. It's potter, it's mutter. Now, so Reb Shimon is of the opinion that a Davar She'ein Miskaven is mutter. The Rosh says we don't just paskin like Reb Shimon by Shabbos, we would even paskin like him by all other Yisurim. That's a Rosh in the 14th parak of Masechah Shabbos. But what about if something is a Psik Reisha? That's different. Now let me show you this Gemara that talks about it. There's a Gemara in Sukkah. This really comes up in multiple Gemaras. But I picked Sukkah because I like the way Rashi over there explains it. Top of your sheets, Tana Rabbanan. A mematim biyontif. The first opinion says that you can't decrease the berries. Let's say you have a hadas, right? You use hadasim on sukkahs. Hadasim could have berries. Could I take off the berries on Shabbos or Yontif? So the first opinion the Gemara brings is you're not allowed to. But Mishumar, B'lazer, B'shimon, Amru, Mematin, you could do it. We're allowed to take berries off a hadas on Yontif. The Gemara asks a question. V'hakam esakin mana b'yontif. But you're fixing something on Yontif. You can't have all these berries on your hadas. It doesn't look good. That's one of the things you cannot have on your hadas. Right? I remember the last time. It would definitely stand out in your Arbor Minim. The guy's walking around there, you know. Everyone's Arbor Minim looks a little bit different. How big, how small. But you have hadasim there with berries. You can't have that. Ah, you're fixing it. How could you tell me you're allowed to take off these berries in Yontif? Yeah, that'll be a new thing. You know, one mocher of Dal Minim will show you. Huh? You want hadas with berries? You can get it cheap. Want it without? I'm going to charge you money. But the Gemara asks, why are you allowed to take off the berries in Yontif? Aren't you fixing it and making it into a kli? Masak in mana. You're making it something. So Amar of Ashi could go and shalikit la'achila. No, the case is, I'm not trying to fix my hadas. I'm hungry. I want to eat it. I'm eating the berries off my hadas. I guess I know they're kosher berries. So I'm eating them off. Oneg yontif, I like berries. And the Gemara continues, why is this permitted? Rabbelazar Reb Shimon savla kavua. Rabbelazar Reb Shimon holds like his father. It's nice once in a while you see fathers and sons agree. Rabbelazar Reb Shimon is the son of, as I mentioned before, this famous Reb Shimon, who says, Davar she'im eskavin is mutter. So right now everything's good. I could undo berries from a hadasim on Yontif because it's not my intention. I'm not trying to fix the hadas and make it kosher for Arba Minim. I'm just trying to eat it. Back to Gemara question, 3 lines from the bottom there. V'habai v'rava d'almi tarvayu. Habai v'rava, they both say. Habai v'rava are the biggest arch nemesis is in Shas. They always argue Habai v'rava. Here they agree. When they agree, you have to pay attention to what they're saying. What do Habai v'rava agree to? The Amri Tavayu Moda Reb Shimon B'Pesikresh of Lo Yomos. Reb Shimon agrees by a case of a psik resha for Lo Yomos. That's a phrase, great phrase. What does it mean? I'll show you in Rashi in a moment. But psik resha de lo yamos means you chop off the head of a chicken. Psik resha, you chop off the head for lo yamos, and it's not going to die. The Gemara uses that to illustrate a point. When you chop off the head of the chicken, you think it's not going to die? Of course it's going to die. So if you do something, when do I say that a dover shein in the scaving, something you're not intending is mutter on Shabbos or other cases? That's because you could say, hands up, I don't know, don't shoot. I know I'll do anything wrong. But by something which is a psik resha, something which is a simple consequence, you chop off the head of the chicken, the chicken's going to die. You didn't know that? Sikresha v'lo yamas? Chop off the head of the chicken, it's not going to die? In that case, Reb Shimon admits that you're chayiv, that it's also. So how could you tell me you could take off the berries from this hadas? Look, I wasn't looking to fix my hadasim. I was looking to eat the berries. It's a davar she'ein miskaven. It wasn't my intention. Gemara says back, what do you mean? But even Reb Shimon would admit, if something's a psik resha, if something's definitely going to happen, it's a simple consequence of your action. Halacha is that it's aser. So taking off the berries at the same time is going to make this into a kosher hadas. So how could he do it? So the Gemara is smart. The Gemara answers, Hachad Mayaskinon, De Islei Hoshana Achrisi. We're talking about where I have another Hoshana, I have another Hadas, and therefore I don't need this one. And since I don't need this one, don't tell me I'm doing anything wrong here. That's a simple reading of that Gemara. So the Gemara itself introduces us, there's a concept called a psik resha. There's one case, Dover Shein and Miskavon will be mutter. Psik resha, where it's a consequence that's going to happen, then it's aser. Now I'd like to read to you two Rashis on here, which are very interesting in understanding this topic. Let's read the words of Rashi. Sorry for the small print. I'm going to read from three lines before the wide lines. Rashi says like this: "Vamoda Reb Shimon psik resha lo yomus." Ba'omer echtoch rosh behema zu b'shabbos. Someone says, "I'm going to cut off the head of this animal on Shabbos." Then he wrote to shetamus, but I don't want the animal to die. The kivin de lo efshar shlo tamus, since it's impossible that it's not going to die. Kimitzchavin chashivle. Big words on underlining Rashi. It's as if you had kavana. If something is a simple consequence of your actions, you can't claim you didn't have kavana. That is kavana. That's intent. V'chiyam rinan davashin miskavin mutter. When did we ever say that something that you do not intend is mutter? What's that? Kigon hecha de efshalo below iser. For cases where it's possible to do it without the iser. Kigon gora adam mita kis of asafso. A person on Shabbos, let's say on a dirt ground, is dragging a bench. Uvad shel yiskavin lasos charitz. It's mutter to drag a bench outside on Shabbos, providing you're not making a trench, you're not making a hole in the ground. You're not allowed to make a hole in the ground on Shabbos. Can't make a trench. Now, if I'm dragging a bench and I know kavana whatsoever to make a trench, it'll be mutter. Since you're not mechavin for it, you have to know physics. Not every time when I drag a bench, it could be not such a heavy bench, it could be pretty strong ground, and the angles and the vectors that I have in utilizing the force of the bench could be doesn't make a trench. Not every time. That's a davar shein miskavin. Okay. Aval heka devadi avid modi. But where you're for sure going to do it, let's say I'm dragging a heavy bench on very soft sand. Am I going to make a trench? Of course. So that case is going to be usser. Where I drag a bench, which is not clear, simply it's not going to do that. That's a davar shein miskavin and mutter. But where it's a heavy bench on soft ground, I'm going to make a trench, that's a psik resha also. So do you see the line in the sand? There's a very fine line between psik resha and davar shein miskavin. A davar shein miskavin, something which you don't have kavana for, is 100% mutter, according to Reb Shimon. But something which is gonna, inevitable consequence gonna happen, that's 100% usur. I wasn't joking. It's a very fine line in the sand. Now let me take it one step further.
Is that fine line on the sand a trench?
Yes. Now, let me show you the next Rashi, because I want to point something out here. Look at the next Rashi. Remember, the Gemara explained, don't worry, we have no psik resha here by the case of taking the berries off the Hadas, because the Islei Hoshana Achrisi, because we have another Hadas over here. Rashi writes, I don't need this Hadas. Hilkach ein kan tikin kli, I'm not fixing it. So I don't need it to kasher it. The lo dummy liv psik resha. This is not comparable to the case of psik resha. The hasam ikon etilos l'shamam manushach. There, you're for sure taking the life of that animal when you cut off the head. If I didn't have another hadas over here, mishav lo mana, then I'm making it into a kosher hadas. The hatzarich lahachli. Now look at the last line of Rashi. V'yaf al gavdelo mischavin lahachli. Even though I'm not mechavin for it, aser davi psik reisha v'lo yamos. It's aser because it's a psik reisha v'lo yamos. I would like to ask a stira between these two Rashis. We know, we were just talking about it yesterday, Rashi was one of the greatest of our Pirushim. But on a simple note, these two Rashis, back to back, I'm not asking a stira between two different Masechtas, two different pages in Shas. I want to show you two straight Rashis here in Sukkah, which seem to be in contradiction. The first Rashi told me that when you know something is inevitable consequence of your actions, that is kavana. Kimitzchavin. Dummy. That was the words of Rashi. It's considered kimitzchavin in chashavah. It's considered like kavana. Now in the second Rashi, when Rashi's explained to me this concept of psik resha, he's admitting, nah, even the psik resha doesn't mean I actually thought it. But nevertheless, it's usur. Rashi, make up your mind. Is psik resha considered 100% kavana or not? If something is kavana for an action, then you're going to be chayif. It's going to be usur to do on Shabbos, usur to do in other cases. But if something is ainam achavim, it'll be mutter. Right? That's our fine line. Psik resha means it's inevitable consequence. So Rashi first told me that's called kavana. But the second Rashi sounds to be saying it's not kavana. What? Sounds like a stira. What do you guys want to say? No.
It's not that he necessarily actually had kavana, but it's legal kavana because it has to happen now.
So is it or isn't it, Rabbi?
What?
Is it kavana or not kavana? Is it kavana to make a trench? Is a kavana to fix this hadas? So I believe the answer is, you're right. This is one of those lamdisha ideas. It is, but it isn't. On face value, look. Granted, when you chop off the head of a chicken, I'm not sure you could have any legal defense. Any court of law would say, psik resha. Any judge would turn to you. It'll be pretty cool if you use the Hebrew words. Psik resha v'lo yamos. You're going to cut off the head of the chicken. You think it was going to die? It's not a legal defense when Rachman saw someone cut off the head of somebody. I didn't think it was going to die. Buddy, you cut off someone's head, you do something like that, you have to know this is going to happen. However, in halacha, not every time is it as clear, or say better than that. It could be for hilchos kavana. Pure kavana means I had to fully be thinking of it when I did it. In order to be chayiv in Torah law, you have to be thinking about something when you do it. If it wasn't in the forefront of your mind, that's not kavana. Now, psik resha is usur, but it's a chiddush. It's a lamdisha. It's a Torah din of kavana. But it may not be fully what we call practical intent, practical kavanah. It's something a little bit in between. And this makes the line in the sand all the more hazy. Remember, halacha lemaisa, if something is davar sheni miskaven, you're good to go. If something psik resha, if something's a clear consequence, it's usur. But even when we say it's a clear consequence being usur, it doesn't necessarily mean that I have full kavanah in doing it. But it's something, it's choshev like kavanah. It's considered like kavanah, even though it fully isn't that. That's psik resha. What I'd like to do and share today is go over four situations where even in a, where it's a psik resha, there potentially is room to give a heter on Shabbos. Four scenarios where even though something is a psik resha, there's room for heterim on Shabbos. Now this is very relevant because we've been talking about, you know, all our sensors, all those issues seemingly are psik reshas, right? When I walk past a house that has a trigger for the lights to go on when I walk past it, when I walk on that cement, seemingly, until we explain maybe other ideas, seemingly that's what you call psik resha. That's a consequence. And the first time you did it, hey, I didn't know there was a light sensor over there. Totally didn't know what was flying. What about the second time, third time? He's stuck. You know, then we get into issues. It's a shortcut to shul, the only way to shul. Who said you have to? We don't go to shul. I don't know. It's complicated.
Maybe they changed the setting so
we can call that. Maybe you could ask Mr. O'Reilly to go change the settings because you want to go past the shul. When everyone knocks on his door every other day, can you sell me your house in Hollywood? I'm not sure he's so quick to change his settings just for you. But these are issues. That's a psik, that's a potentially an issue of psik ratio. So I'd like to offer today four categories, or subcategories, within psik ratio where there's room to maneuver. There's room to walk around it. The first of those four categories is a concept called psik ratio delo nichole. A psik ratio that you don't really want. And this concept, which comes up in the Rishonim, it comes up, the Sefer Ha'arach is one of the Rishonim, early Rishonim. He has this idea that a psik resha d'lo nichle is mutter. What is a psik resha d'lo nichle? It's the same type of thing. I'm cutting off the head of a chicken. It's a clear consequence, except I don't want it. Or even better, you don't have to be so negative. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, other mefarshim clearly spell out, it's even if it's lo ich bisle, I don't care for it. As long as you don't, it's not they have to be negative. As long as you just don't positively want this consequence, that might be its own category, and that might be mutter. A psik resha delo nichole. I didn't want this consequence. It might be mutter. The Gemara talks about a case that Rishonim are talking about. The olden days, you know, for the barrels, so they didn't have, I guess, I don't know, no one discovered cork. They didn't have cork, whoever they were. So they would have these big barrels of wine, and obviously they have a hole in the barrel. How they stuff it up? They'll take a rag, put that rag into the hole, and anytime they wanted to take wine, they'll take out the rag. Inevitably, if you're using a rag and there's liquid, there's potentially multiple issues on Shabbos to talk about, but let's, for simplicity sake, there's a schita. You're not allowed to squeeze liquid, certain scenarios, different things, out of this fabric, this piece of cloth on Shabbos. Every time I put it back in, take it out, just by wedging it in, am I not going to be squeezing it to some degree? It's got to fit tight. And causing liquid to go out, that's schita. It's a psik resha. It's for sure going to happen. Right? This rag is going to get wet. Definitely when it's sitting in there, I'm taking it out. I'm going to squeeze out some of the wine on it. That's definitely a clear consequence of your action. Except you know what? You don't want it. Psik resha del nichle. I don't want to do that. What do I care? What do I care that I'm squeezing out the wine there? I'm not using that wine anyway. So that the Aruch says is mutter. A psik resha del nichle, the Aruch paskins, it's mutter. However, on the other side of the equation, Tosfos, the Ri, amongst others, argue and say, no, Sikresha dol Nechale is Aser, no such Heter. And of course, that leads to big issues. There's even a machlokas within the sheet of the Aruch. How far does the Aruch go? Does the Aruch give a heter for Sikresha only by Shabbos? Or is really the Aruch's heter apply to other Isurim also? Major machlokas Rishonim. Perhaps there are stiras in Rishonim about that too. Very complicated issue. Now, one thing which for sure is important to point out. When we say psik resha is aser, you can't do a psik resha on Shabbos. That doesn't matter if it's an iser d'oraisa or an iser d'rabbana. One is not allowed to do any action on Shabbos, which is a clear consequence of going to have an iser here. So this makes for trouble. You know, sometimes electronics, electricity, we get into issues, is d'oraisa, d'rabbana. If it's a psik resha, it's aser either way. However, in contrast though, psik resha d'lo nichalei, even if you paskin that it's aser, like Tosos, it's only aser mid'rabbana. Now we might see, there might be room sometimes to get involved with heterim with that. But in general, psik resha by itself is aser even mid'rabbana. You can't do it even though it's aser mid'rabbana. However, just to know, psik resha dol nichale, even on tzad that it's aser, Mishabura, others paskin that it would be only aser mid'rabbana. Now the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Chav, actually talking about the halacha of the wine barrel and taking out that sponge, that cloth which is holding it, the Shulchan Aruch brings both shitas and talks about the fact that many people are makel if it's a psik resha d'lo nichale. He brings both tzadim. The Chazon Ish seems to write that it could be maker adin of psik resha d'lo nichale b'motor. But again, this is an area not so clear, and it's definitely a machlokas. Shulchan Aruch brings both tzadim, but potentially there is a heter for something which is a psik resha d'lo nichale, a psik resha that you don't necessarily want. Let me go to another area, a second area.
Maybe not clear as to why. It's d'lo nichale because you violate Shabbos as versus d'lo nichale.
Right, right. Very important point. When I say I don't want it,
the light in your refrigerator.
Right, Rabbi Shaffer is putting out a very important point. Simply, when we define whether I want a consequence or not, nobody wants a consequence of violating Shabbos. When we talk about lo nichale, whether you want it or not, it means in a practical sense. I gave a good example, right? One of the other old issues with the refrigerators is many times you open it up, it has no setting, it triggers the light bulb to go on. Now, obviously, the best thing is to override that somehow, unscrew the light bulb, right? That's an easy fix. That's been going on for the old refrigerators. Right, nowadays, it's not as easy. You can't take it out. There's not a light bulb in there. There's who knows what there is in there. And there are sensors still going on.
Magnets on top.
Magnets, oh, right? There's actually a few of these kosher companies have kind of sprung up, you know, trying to fill a niche of trying to, like, plug in all the different issues, you know. Yeah.
Well, they've been doing it with the ovens for a while.
Yeah, yeah. But, so one thing, when we talk about psik resha dol nichale, it has to be that you don't want that light to go on. You don't want the consequence of your actions. Not because of Shabbos, but in practical sense. Like the chef is saying, hey, who doesn't want a light in their refrigerator to go on? But it depends. If it's you have lights on your kitchen, then I don't really need that light in the refrigerator. So that might be a lo nichale. There might be a lo ichbis
le. They're designed to be in the kitchen.
So does it go on the general consensus of why these things are designed, or does it go on my personal needs? I don't need a light in my refrigerator. You know, to be honest, I think by me, I have it taped up all the time. My light never goes on. I don't need it. Now, that's one case. Sikresha Dulonichale, that's room potentially for a heter. A second scenario is what you call Suffolk Sikresha. I want to spend a little more time on this, but I see this is complicated. It's taking me a little longer than I anticipated. Suffolk Sikresha, I'll give you two scenarios. One scenario is, let's go back to our classic case of Davrshein and Miskaven. You're dragging a bench on Shabbos. Dragging the bench potentially is making a ditch. Now, if it's not going to, right? For all that you know, it's not going to make a ditch because it's a very strong ground. It looks like tile. I don't know what it is. And the bench is not so heavy. Fine. Davrshein and Miskaven. If it ends up making one, it's mutter. If it's for sure going to do it, that's called a psik resha. What about something in between? Let's say something is a suffix psik resha. I'm not sure. I can't calculate. Is that going to happen or not? I don't know. 50-50. Maybe yes, maybe not. I don't know for sure. When you cut the head off a chicken, you know it's going to die. When you drag a heavy bench on soft ground, just the right angles, for sure, that's gonna do that. But what about something that's a suffix? It's not clear. So the halacha is suffix psik resha is mutter. Huh? Whether it's going to happen or not.
Like a compression.
Huh?
Like a compression.
Oh, I'm going to get to these in a moment.
Right.
One second. You don't intend it. You don't foresee, there's...
Do you know when you drag the bench, it's going to make...
Okay, we'll debate this. Hold on. But they bring up in halacha another case, very interesting case. One's not allowed to trap animals, different types of insects necessarily on Shabbos. Yom Tov is a different shiloh. Okay, let's say I have a box. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to do this one. And there's this fox running around my house.
The old box.
I'm not sure. There's a box here. I closed the box. I'm not sure if there's a fox in the box. Is one allowed to do that? If the fox is in the box, when I shut that box, I'm trapping it on Shabbos, which is aser. But if it's not there, then it's mutter. So that's another scenario of a suffix psik resha. It's another scenario of a suffix psik resha. Except this case is different. This case, right? Yeah, some people say, it's a good example here in this neighborhood. We have these big, huge garbage cans.
Oh, cat.
And it could be a cat.
Why is more likely?
Right? Some big animal, I don't know. It depends on the strength, was able to, you know, get in there. Could be sometimes people leave their containers unclosed. Now I close it. It could be something's in there and you're trapping it.
There was just a video in Florida, a city in Florida with a coyote walking down the street.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We have it all. Now there's a machlokas here between the Taz and Rabbi Akiva Eiger, whether such a case is mutter or aser. You have a suffix psik resha, but in a sense, it's not a suffix on your action, the physical action you're doing, but in the circumstances around your action. Was there a fox in that box before I closed it? Was there, you know, a rat, something in your garbage can before you shut it? You don't know. So that's machlokas. Now, someone brought up before, you're right, suffix psik resha, you know, some of these things, especially electronics, we, you know, it's not clear what exactly it is. I'll show you, you know, in the back of your sheets, you happen to have a piece there from quoting Rav David Feinstein, where Rav David Feinstein says that his father was still not sure after talking to all these experts And the experts themselves are not sure, back in the day, how these refrigerators work. When exactly the thermostat kick in? Right? What temperature? You open it. So now, when you open a refrigerator, hot air is going in. Hot air is going in, okay. But when's that going to cause the compressor to come on, the thermostat's triggering, oh, it's getting too warm, I need to turn it on. When exactly does that happen? Is there an exact amount, exact time? This? The Las Vegas here. There might be a Suffolk-Sick ratio, as brought up.
Maybe there's sometimes another sensor that waits.
Okay, you're talking about the new refrigerators. I'm still by the old ones. Okay, hold on. That's another category. Really, this leads me in, when we talk about refrigerators, to a third category. Psik ratio al yidei grumma. A psik ratio that involves a grumma. A grumma is the halachic term for, I like calling it a mousetrap. Remember that game where you do, it's like the ultimate game of dominoes, just looks a little bit, you know, yeah. What's it called? Right, the Rube Goldberg idea. Basically, you do one thing, and there's a chain reaction which eventually leads to something else. That's a grumma. Now, the more direct it might be worse than grumma. It might be garmi. Okay, but a grumma is, I'm causing it, but it takes a while till all the motors turn, all the dominoes fall, till you reach that point. That's a grumma. Now, grumma in halacha, hey, if you damage a person through a grumma, that's awesome. But in halacha, especially for Hilchos Shabbos, Rav Shlomo Zalman has a whole piece, also on the back of your sheets. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, look, opening a refrigerator and causing eventually the thermostat to kick in, compressor to go on, the machine to go on, that's probably a grumma. And being the fact that it's a grumma, it's mutter. Rav Shlomo Zalman took this idea to the bank. Right? I'll jump to this point for a moment. Maybe we'll see a bit later the other sheet of this. But Rav Shlomo Zalman gave the most kuladik, the most lenient approach to opening a refrigerator. Rav Shlomo Zalman says you could always open a refrigerator on Shabbos. In the old technology, before we introduce other technology, just in terms of the issue of the thermostat, Rav Shlomo Zalman paskened years ago, you could open a refrigerator whether the motor's on or the motor's off, because he held these issues are psik ratio, or grumma with the psik ratio, and if it's grumma with the psik ratio, he utilized the idea that we really proved from Rashi before. Even psik ratio doesn't really mean kavana. It's not the full 100% iser, as if a person is doing something with kavana. And since the psik ratio is not 100% kavana, there's room to say ayidei grumma that's mutter. That's where Shlomo Zalman was ready to paskin, that opening a refrigerator, again, without today's sensors and without any issue with a light bulb, just the thermostat itself, he was ready to say you could do that.
You know,
yeah. Yeah. Right. Excellent point. Psik ratio and nikolai wouldn't work for that. One last potential is idea is a psik ratio is a problem, but not if you use a guy. If a guy is used, let's say, to open a refrigerator where there's an issue of a psik ratio, that would be permitted. Because I'm not doing the iser of psik ratio, the guy's doing it. And being the fact, again, that psik ratio is not an exact 100% Kavana Isser that I'm doing on Shabbos, there's room to permit that. So even a scenario, let's say, I'm not saying this should be done every week, but let's say you end up in a hotel which gives you, you know, a villa, and they give you a nice fancy fridge, and you have enough time to hawk about it before Shabbos, you're there on Shabbos, there might be room to get a guy, to get, the hotel staff to come open the refrigerator for you to take out your stuff. I mean, it'd be so simple when you can return it back in, not how you take it out all in one shot. That's more complicated. But in general, that's psik ratio de akum. So I want to quickly review the four concepts and talk a little bit halacha l'maisa, just to give you a little sprinkling of a taste of these issues. So again, the concepts that we talked about today is, firstly, if something's a davar she'ein miskaven, something is not your intention, that's mutter. That's pater, according to Rav Shimon, Shabbos, you're okay with that. But if something's a psik resha, which psik resha means a clear consequence of your action, then it's 100% usur, whether we're talking about an isur d'oraisa or an isur d'rabbanan. 100% usur, if something's a psik resha. We discussed within that, it's a halachic din of kavana, it's not a practical 100% kavana. Now, we said the fine line between the psik resha and davar she'ein miskaven is not necessarily so easy to find. And that self needs a shaila to be asked. Is this a psik resha? Is this davar she'ein miskaven? Is it mutter or not? But even if it would be usur, there are four potential heterim involved. There's heter number one, psik resha de lo nichale, which poskim do give out. Volzner in Shevet HaLevi talks about a person walking past these houses that have lights on and trigger, when you walk past it, you're turning on the light. He says, for you, that's a psik resha del nichale. I might be definitely causing that light to go on, but I don't care for the light to go on. I'm going to walk past this house whether the light's on or the light's off.
But you do it every Friday.
Right?
You know it goes on every
psik resha del nichale. I know it's going to happen. But I don't want it. Rav Lozner is Makel. You can walk past that house. Again, assuming maybe if there's no other way to go. You know. Yeah. But in general, yeah, secretional Nikolai is right to matter. There's a second issue we talked about of a suffix secretia, which this has many ramifications. Secretia is when there's a clear consequence that's going to happen. A suffix secretia, not every time does it work perfectly. I don't know. May Sveikos involved. Is the thing here? Is the fox in the box? What's going on here? So Suvik Psik Resha is a Maslokas, but there is a Tzad, the Taz. In fact, the Bir Halacha brings both Tzadim. He ends up bringing proof to the Taz that matters it. The third potential Heter we talked about is Psik Resha Ide Grama. Even where there's a clear consequence happening, but it's a domino effect. It takes a while. That compressor is not going to go on so quickly. Psik resha de grama of Shlomo Zalman is ready to matter for refrigerators. And finally, the heter ide akum is your definitely best bet if you have a situation of psik resha and you can't get around it for lo nichale. It's not a suffix. It's not a grama. The best way to deal with it is not to do it yourself, but to have a guy do it for you. When a guy's doing it, there's much, much more room to be makel, and with that. So again, with, you know, these issues are something, you know, a Jew checking into a hotel is much more complicated than you thought. And just to be prepared ahead of time, a Jew going to the store shopping, right? You know, sometimes the guy's planning out, you know, to whatever degree you plan, you know, people exert lots of effort finding the best deals for Black Friday or Cyber Monday. That same effort should be invested in halacha to make sure that the products that I'm buying are things that won't give me halachic issues. Thank you very much. Yeah.